Last week, we began thinking about healing, and we focused on two readings: instant healing of the invalid at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5, and Paul's thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, for which Paul prayed three times for physical healing and received instead the promise of God's grace and strength in his weakness. I told you last week the story of my mum and dad and their experience. Their firstborn, Kenneth, took sick when he was 5, was prayed for, and died. Their fourthborn, me, took sick at age 8, was given 2 weeks to live, was prayed for, and recovered. If God is the healer, if God is love, why does he heal sometimes and not others? Perhaps from your experience, you have that question too. Then we tried to grasp not just what individual Bible verses say about healing, but the broader biblical teaching and Dr. McPheeter's summary to the sick man in New York, the 5 miracles of healing. The miracle of the instant cure, the miracle of our body's design, the miracle of God's guidance to a cure, the miracle of God's grace, the miracle of the triumphant crossing. Now, there are still just a very few copies of that summary available at the door. I'm sure there were more that I took home that I failed to bring with me this morning. Today, our theme is healing and faith. In a number of Jesus' miracles, faith is a significant factor. What do we mean by faith? We read in Matthew 13 that when Jesus visited his hometown Nazareth, he didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. This and other references might lead us to the conclusion that if only we believe hard enough, everyone we prayed for would be physically healed. When we're on the Sunshine Coast, a couple came from Canberra to retire. They'd been very, very much involved in the O'Connor Uniting Church, which had quite a reputation as being one of the charismatic churches in the Uniting Church Australia-wide. And they spoke to us about a time when they said we really felt invincible. Someone would get sick, we'd pray for them, they'd get better. Someone else would get sick and they'd pray for them and they'd get better. And it kept on happening until one lady got sick and they prayed for her and she got sicker. And so they redoubled their prayer and prayed for her and she got worse, until finally she died. And they were absolutely shattered, because surely if you are praying for someone, they're meant to get better. And if you are praying believing, they will most certainly get better if you've got the gift of faith. Some folks say, I have a lot of faith in prayer. Now, I'm sure they mean quite well, and they may mean the same as I'm about to say, but it's only a slight shift, isn't it? The question is, do we have faith in the God to whom we pray? We can think that somehow it's our praying that brings results, instead of the God to whom we link in prayer. It may seem a slight shift of words, but I believe there's a very big difference there. Faith is a significant element in the record of many healings in the Gospels. The centurion who came on behalf of his servant, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. He had said, just speak the word, my servant will be healed. The woman who touched the edge of his cloak, you can read that in between the two readings that we had today from Matthew chapter 9. We hear Jesus saying, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. The disciples, unable to heal the boy with a demon. Why couldn't we drive it out? Because you have so little faith, we hear Jesus saying. Now, Matthew 9 records four healing miracles. We're considering just two of them this morning. Jesus has just returned to Capernaum from the region of the Gadarenes and the healing of two demon-possessed men. In Luke 5, 17 to 26, we're told that as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. Now Mark gives us a little bit more information here. The room was so crowded that they have to carry him onto the roof to make a hole in order to lower him through. We try to imagine the scene inside the room. You know, everyone's sitting there listening to Jesus, and there's a noise up in the ceiling. And then bits of mud start falling through. That's assuming that, well, they tended to make those roofs flat. There was not as much rain as you get here in Edmonton. With woven cane and plastered with mud was the way they made them. I noticed that one of the translations actually says tiles. They removed tiles. But I'm just assuming that you're sitting here and, you know, a clod falls on your head as you're listening to Jesus. What's that? And then suddenly you can see the light as this man comes through. And up there, up above, there are four grinning men. Can't you imagine the scene? And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Now today, I want to focus particularly on the significant statement, when Jesus saw their faith. I propose that next week we'll be thinking about healing and forgiveness. So we may be referring back to this story again. When Jesus saw their faith. Now, whose faith does the record speaking about? Whose faith did Jesus see? Well, we presume that the man was able to signify in some way his faith, his desire to be taken to Jesus. But he couldn't do it without their faith, the faith of his four friends. What was this faith? It was a confident openness and trust in Jesus, whatever he might do. Undoubtedly, they'd heard stories of others who'd received physical healing through the ministry of Jesus. I wonder, was it a surprise to them that Jesus dealt first with a deeper, perhaps even secret problem? Right now, Jesus is confronting the serious charge of blasphemy. It's easier to say your sins are forgiven, except that only God is supposed to say that in the absolute. Jesus speaks words of healing. The more difficult words from their point of view. Get up, take up your mat and go home. As a sideline, we notice in this story that there was a cost to the homeowner in this healing. Perhaps not as much if it had, there might have been if it had been your roof that had been broken into. But there was a cost to the homeowner And you know, in the story of the healing of those demon-possessed men and Gadarenes, the people were upset about their loss of pigs. Remember the story? There was a cost to the healing. The faith of the four men was expressed in action, carrying their friend to Jesus. This was also true of those who brought the demon-possessed mute to Jesus in the healing story that we're not talking about today particularly, but was right at the end of today's Bible reading in Matthew chapter 9. Their faith in action brought this man to the place where the miracle happened. Then we have the healing of the two blind men. Now let me say that I believe this is a distinctly different occasion up in the north in Galilee from the later miracle down south in Jericho when Jesus healed blind men, one of whom we know well by his name Bartimaeus, when he was leaving Jericho. These two men are pleading for Jesus to have mercy on them. They call him Son of David, which suggests that they've come to the conviction that he is the promised Messiah. They follow Jesus indoors, and he asks, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they confidently answer, "Yes, Lord." Jesus then touches their eyes and says, "According to your faith, will it be done, or let it happen to you." And their sight is restored. Now, their faith doesn't cause the miracle. Rather, it made them ready and able to receive the miracle of healing, which they were already convinced that Jesus could do. Now, that's an important distinction. Their faith didn't cause the miracle, but it made them open and ready to receive the miracle of healing that they were already convinced that Jesus could do. Just by the way, do you realize that Jesus actually did miracles in Nazareth? You think about it. Jesus did miracles in Nazareth, but not many. Because of their lack of faith, they were not ready or able to receive miracles at the hand of Jesus. So what can we say about the faith to be healed? Already we've noted that this faith is a confident openness and trust in Jesus, whatever he might do. It involves a conviction about the person and authority of Jesus. It's also a readiness and openness to receive whatever miracle he wants to give. In Mark 11, we read an account of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus looks around the temple, but it's late, and he goes back to Bethany with the 12. Next day, they were heading into town. Jesus is hungry and sees a fig tree in leaf. The first crop of figs should be there, but it isn't. And Jesus says, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." This, as we read on in the story, is a graphic picture of the barrenness of temple worship which Jesus was about to confront in the city. The next morning, they see that the fig tree is withered. And Jesus tells them this: "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. I believe it's important for us to read verse 25. I may refer back to this again next week, as well as verse 24. But some people have taken verse 24. That's whenever you are, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. Some have taken verse 24 to signify a kind of name it and claim it faith. Against any evidence to the contrary, as far as the healing ministry is concerned, you must steadfastly hold on to your healing. I think of a number of instances from one of our previous places. I think of a man crippled up with arthritis. He would have been late 40s or 50s, I think, comparatively young. Sorry, there are some people who think that's old. Comparatively young. He would come along to an evening service that we had. And sometimes he'd work the overhead projector and would get involved so much in singing the songs that he'd forget to change the slide. That never happens at Edmonton, does it? Has never. And some of the people were very keen that he should go to another church that had someone who was billed as an internationally renowned evangelist and healer, whom I'd never heard of before or since. But after our evening service, he was taken up to this other church. And I got a phone call the next morning to say that he was healed and was leaping and jumping and praising God. And I thought, that's just marvelous. I must go and see him so that I can rejoice with him. Because I accept that God does heal. I made that clear last week. God does heal. And I went, and there he was sitting in his chair. He said, I'm healed. Went for a few walks this morning and I had to sit down, but I'm healed. Didn't look very healed to me. I could see that there was a problem. I had gone fully prepared to rejoice with him. And I became concerned that here was this internationally renowned person who was going to go around and saying that at such and such a place, I'm not even going to name where it was, this man had come, he'd had severe arthritis, could hardly walk, and he was walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I'm not sure what my fourth message is going to be, but I've been thinking about that bit in James. If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil and pray for him. Do you know why the elders of the church? Because they're the ones that are responsible. They're not someone who's going to go around saying, when I was in such and such, this happened. They're the ones who know that they've got to stay with someone. They've got to keep on praying. They've got to face the consequences. Think also of a beautiful Christian lady, one of our elders, someone who is passionate about healing ministry, who's dying of cancer, except that she was claiming her healing. And at a prayer meeting which we were holding every week, which was at their house, we couldn't pray for her. Because she was healed. Not allowed to pray for her, except I remember one of our ladies went over and put her hands on her head and prayed a loving prayer for her. Whenever we visited, her husband would come out to the car to tell us how she was doing. her family from the other end of the state would ring us up to find out how she was, because her husband was not able to talk about her condition in their home, because she would hear. And right until the day before she died, when she lapsed into unconsciousness, she insisted that she was healed. I was at her bedside when she died. And the thought most strongly in my mind was this: the battle is over, the victory is won. And that became the theme of my message at her funeral. Her physical battle with cancer was over, but it wasn't cancer that had won. Jesus, not the cancer, had won the victory and had received her to the place where there is no more cancer, no more suffering, no more pain. So what are some of the important elements of the faith to be healed? Firstly, it is faith in God, Creator and Heavenly Father. It is faith in God, Creator and Heavenly Father. God is the Creator. He is the one who has designed our human body. Many of the ailments that afflict us are part of the result of the fall. There are some that are lifestyle related. I always think particularly because of all the pressures we live under. And at Forest Beach, where we live, whenever we go to Townsville for medical appointments or shopping, we think, isn't it good that we don't live here? And then if we go to Brisbane to see our family, yes, last time we were there, I still drove in Brisbane, but I'm glad I don't have to face that traffic every day. Much better to be up in Torres Strait, I think. And by the way, you go to the land of Israel, and of course they used to walk everywhere there too. And the land of Israel is smaller than Tasmania. There may be other things that are part of human impact on our environment, the very air that we breathe. I'm more concerned about the air that we breathe than all that they talk about carbon pollution. I'm thankful for carbon. It's in every organic compound that there is, including the human body. A lot of it's carbon. Did you know that? But the air that we breathe, the pollutants that we put there. Medical research has gained many insights, but no researcher knows the human body and what goes wrong with it as does the Creator himself. Have you ever thought about that? The Creator knows more about it than any medical researcher. And the Creator is also a Heavenly Father who loves and cares for his children. Second, we're talking about faith in Jesus and in his finished work. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world with a mission. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We hear his last cry from the cross: "It is finished." Not "I am finished," but something that means more like "mission accomplished." The early Christians readily recognized his fulfillment of Isaiah 53. "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." We pray in Jesus' name, not as a correct formula that guarantees results, but as the only basis on which we can present our requests to God. Third, we're talking about a wholehearted openness to the one who gave himself for us and gives himself to us. He taught us most clearly, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. We don't always receive simply on the asking. Often as we seek and knock, we're drawn closer to the Lord and to an understanding of how to pray. Someone has said that faith is not getting God to give his attention to what we're focusing on, but giving our attention to what God is focusing on. Just think about that. Faith is not getting God to give his attention to what we are focusing on, but giving our attention to what God is focusing on. The five miracles of healing that we talked about last week may help us to widen our focus as we pray in faith for healing. And then fourthly, we're talking about faith that is also shared within the body of Christ. In quite a number of the miracles of Jesus, the person healed, especially those raised from the dead, but not only, had no faith for healing, nor even opportunity to express faith. In a number of cases, however, there were others, like the four who brought their paralyzed friend, who apart from or together with the person were expressing their faith. So we have the passage I mentioned from James. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. This issue of healing and forgiveness comes in again. In Christ, we are interrelated. We feel one another's joy and pain. I think about what Paul wrote about the Lord's Supper and what a serious thing it was that there were people who were only concerned about eating their fill. They weren't concerned about the body. They weren't concerned about others. God gives and increases our faith to prayerfully support one another. Let us pray. Lord our God, we come to you conscious of your grace which is sufficient for us, your grace made perfect even in our weakness. We come to you, our Heavenly Father, you who know us, and when something's wrong in these bodies that we live in, you understand just what is wrong. Lord, that's why we pray for guidance to a cure. You understand, and you love us, our Heavenly Father. We come praising you for the Lord Jesus, whose work of redemption is complete. We know that some of that fullness we'll only see and experience with the triumphant crossing when we go to glory. But we come conscious that he gave himself for us, was bruised and broken for us. But with his stripes we are healed. We come, Lord, seeking to be open to you, open to receive what you want to give. Whatever miracle you choose to give us, we just come to you this morning. Lord, speak to us. Grant us to live in the awareness of who you are, to live our life in the one name by which we can be saved, the name of the Lord Jesus. We come, Lord, as your body here, together we have been praying for others. Together we reach out to our pastor and her husband and the others on the tour who right at this moment are in Oberammergau, sleeping, we hope. We thank you that it is not far to them via the throne. We can pray here and you're answering over there with restful and healing sleep, with your blessing upon them and through them at this time. Oh, bless us as your body here, as we reach out and touch one another, and as you work your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen.